It is a privilege to be here today, passing on to you not only the teachings of my great teacher, Shunryu Suzuki Roshi, but by passing on the meaning of his teachings, giving meaning to the practice of all of the great Buddhist ancestors, all the way back to Shakyamuni Buddha. The title of today's kanji is Poem Given to a Zen Person as a Gift. And apparently lay people outside of the monastery often wrote letters to Dogen asking him questions, and he'd answer them in a letter back. And this time he sent a poem, and I find that so touching. And here's the poem. Who hates ignorance, which is simply the autumn dew? From the beginning, true form is actually within this. Its remains are hard to see at the bottom of rushing waters. Bound up, it's easy to transform the self we receive. So what Dogen is telling this person is that ignorance and wisdom are not two separate things. Both, when examined, turned out to be empty. They're both empty. Empty means empty of self nature. But to understand this, we have to free ourselves from self clinging. In other words, we have, and we do that by continuous practice of zazen. That's basically one main point today. But it's so that wisdom and ignorance are basically, they're not different, they're the same thing. They're within each other, they hold each other. So we don't need to hate the fact that just being here from birth, that we took an incarnation where we have this ignorance from a Buddhist perspective. And so let me unpack all of this for you. But I just want to say that's all I'm saying today. So not to get lost in the details. So ignorance is the first link of the 12 links. We've talked about the 12 links, but then we had a week break, and I'm sure you probably don't remember at all. But there's something called the 12 Nidanas. Nidana means link. And they're links of causation, which means the causation of our incarnations of lifetime after lifetime. So the 12 links are linked occasions, are linked things that happen that create our constantly recycling through birth and death again and again and again. So ignorance has no self nature, but it jumpstarts this whole suffering lifetime after suffering lifetime. So I want to just pause and go over again the 12 links, because it's very important. And if you recall, you probably don't, in Buddha's, in the time of Shakyamuni Buddha, everybody practiced deeply meditating on either the Four Noble Truths or these 12 Nidanas. And the Four Noble Truths are life is suffering, suffering has a cause, suffering can cease, and the way to see suffering is the Eightfold Noble Path. That's one line of development. And then this other line of development, the 12 Nidanas, begins with ignorance. So, and about this chain of events, they're all connected. And about this chain, Buddha said, when this is present, when this is present, that comes to be. From the arising of this, that arises. When this ceases, that ceases, and so forth. So it's all cause and effect, cause and effect. So the notion of causality is normally described as a sequence involving 12 interconnected links called the 12-fold chain. To remember this, I find it useful to think of a newborn, just a newborn baby. So as I name the 12 links, if you think of that, it'll be easier to understand how they connect to each other. So the first one is ignorant, because we're born that way. And then predispositions. We all have predispositions to who we uniquely are. And then consciousness. And then name and form. We are this person, and we look like this thing. Then the six internal sense bases. We went over those before, but they're all about, you know, seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, like that. Now, and then the next four, the big four, the sixth one is sensory contact, then sensation or feeling, then thirst or attachment, then grasping or clinging. The 10th one is the process of becoming, like pregnancy, and then birth, and then the last, old age and death, which is accompanied by sorrow, lamentation, pain, grief, and despair. So the 6 to 9, sensory contact, feeling or sensation, attachment, and then clinging or grasping. They're interconnected, and they happen like the Buddha describes. When this is present, that comes to be. And this is how we recycle ourselves again and again. And the other pole is true form. And it's a translation of Jiso, which is a shortening of Shoho Jiso. In Japanese, Shoho Jiso means the true reality of all things. And so it's the teaching that each and every unique individual thing can exist only in the relationship with all other things throughout time and space. So true form is basically our fundamental state of interdependence with all beings. And it's an ultimate truth, so we can't grasp it actually with our minds, but there's a sense of it being so. And as we do Zazen more and more, that sense of it being so gets more potent. I want to talk a little more about ignorance, because there's an emotional ignorance and a conceptual ignorance. And they all start from those, the six sense organs and the object. So eyes, and then the object, you know, I see that plant. And then the consciousness created by that. There's six consciousnesses created by that. And they create sensation, contact, sensation, craving, and clinging. And these are the links in the emotional version of the 12 links creating suffering. And we take unwholesome actions because of them. And then there's a conceptual 6 to 9, which is perception, thinking, proliferation of thinking, and then false discrimination. Most discriminations, many discriminations come from this proliferation of thinking, create a state where we cannot see actual reality, ultimate truths. So the true reality of all beings is before we start out on either of those sequences. So these 12 links that I just mentioned, true reality of all beings is before that. So in other words, once we're born in this state of ignorance, Buddha's understanding is that we cycle through these 12 things again and again and again. And in Buddhist time, those who chose the 12 Nidanas as the path that they were meditating on, they did it both way. They did it the way I just said, and then they did it in reverse order. Old age and death. I can't remember the one right before that, but so backwards. I guess the one before that was birth, actually. And then the pregnancy and so forth. So this is the common understanding of ignorance in true form in Mahayana Buddhism, that we need to become free from ignorance and see true reality by attaining wisdom. That's the general understanding in Mahayana Buddhism. But Dogen went a step farther. He says that the natures of ignorance and wisdom are the same, for ignorance is undefiled, incalculable, and beyond the sphere of thought, just like true form. And so with this understanding, we can begin to enter non-duality. That's very profound. So Shakyamuni Buddha, so I want to make this really clear. When Shakyamuni Buddha sat under the Bodhi tree and attained enlightenment, he attained complete and perfect pure enlightenment. There's nothing that he didn't know. But the rest of India, all the rest of the other people might not be able to understand these ultimate truths that now he understands. And so he actually in the beginning didn't want to teach at all because of this. And he was persuaded by various gods who came down and pestered him that he needed to teach. And so what he did is he used skillful means to teach according to his judgment of what each person's capacity was to take in. And he was straddling a really fine line. You have to understand that if he said something that was too not understandable, then the person receiving it could go, oh, this is, you know, bullshit, basically, and start criticizing Buddhism. And therein lies a lot of negative karma. And the Buddha understood this. So he definitely did not want to be the cause of someone's saying bad things about Buddhism, which would be very bad for them karmically. So in his teaching, he had to be really careful to only teach what a person could actually understand. And these people weren't educated to understand. So it was very difficult for him. And so we can't measure what his enlightenment was based on what he taught. They're two different things altogether. So, but I want to tell you, this is really, to me, this is really interesting to learn. I didn't know that there are actually three periods of Buddhist understanding. So the first one was with Shakyamuni Buddha's time, when he taught the Four Noble Truths and the 12 links of causation that we just went over. So that's the first period of understanding Buddhism. And I just said, just because there are three historical periods does not mean that the Buddha didn't already know all that, but he couldn't teach it. Okay, I think I've already explained that. So then the next period is Mahayana Buddhism, which happened right at the turn of that century. So when AD started, Mahayana Buddhism started, and Mahayana Buddhism emphasized the interconnectedness of all beings and bodhisattva practice and vow. So that came later. And then even later in the 13th century came Dogen, who said, ignorance and wisdom, neither one of them have self nature, and it's empty like dew. And ignorance and true reality are the same. They're the same. So that was a profound difference. And from there, there's a difference in teaching. So Shakyamuni Buddha teaches both kinds of mind flow, emotional and intellectual, and to stop. During Zazen, you stop your mind flow. But Dogen doesn't teach us to stop mind flow. Mind flow means subject and object consciousness. And Buddha taught us to stop that. This is in our head while our body is, everything in our head while our body is sitting cross-legged. We try to stop that. But Dogen Zazen, we don't do that. We keep our mind flow as it is, but we don't cling to it. So we open the hand of thought, like Uchiyama Roshi said, and we simply sit. We don't take any action. We just sit. And the idea is, thinking is not my thinking. It is simply happening in my brain. That's what brains do. Brains churn out thoughts. But that doesn't mean we are thinking. Our brain churns out thoughts. We don't take action. We don't own it. We just sit and we become free from that object. We keep our eyes open. We see a wall, but we don't see the wall as an object of my consciousness. So normally, the eyes see have the object, and there's a consciousness created. And if for us in Zazen, we don't accept that consciousness. We hear a sound, but we don't think of it as the object of my ear. It just sound happens. So to repeat, the early Buddhist teachings say to stop the emotional and intellectual mind. And Dogen says, thought is happening, but we don't identify it as mine, and we don't cling to it or make a judgment about it within our Zazen. We certainly don't take action based on things happening. Also because of our karmic consciousness, or that Elias storehouse. So we don't need to hate ignorance. And actually, Zazen itself is the true reality of all beings. So Zazen that's doing Zazen, we don't do Zazen. Zazen does Zazen. And that in itself is the true reality of all beings. In itself, that's why we sit, and that happens on its own, of its own, and we release all thoughts, we release all sense of me and self, and we just, Dogen's phrase is drop off body and mind. And it's not easy, but our practice of Zazen continues to deepen. And so the next thing I want to say about this is really, it kind of changes the tone a little bit. So everything I've just said is actually bodhisattva practice. The first phrase in bodhisattva, in the bodhisattva vow, is sentient beings are numberless. I vow to save them or free them from suffering, basically. So we stay in samsara to help them. And that basically the prayer is, I am the last person to enter nirvana. I vow not to become Buddha, until all beings become Buddha. That's the Bodhisattva vow. To stay in samsara, we need karmic consciousness, right? Because that creates ignorance. So we need ignorance to stay in samsara, to help all beings. So as a bodhisattva, I vow not to enter nirvana and stay in ignorance in order to be in a position to help all living beings. And here's another thing. Before Mahayana, so I just told you there's this Shakyamuni Buddhist time, Mahayana Buddhism came in right as AD happened, the first century, and then Dogen in the 13th century. So in the Shakyamuni Buddhist time, there was an understanding, I don't know what this means, but there were two kinds of nirvana. Nirvana was something extra, and I don't know what that extra is. And then there was perfect nirvana without anything extra. But since Dogen, there's a third kind of nirvana, and that's non-abiding nirvana for bodhisattvas. So a bodhisattva is actually free from samsara because of wisdom, but stays in samsara because of compassion. So a bodhisattva has no abode. There's no such boundary as the river to cross over. And for Dogen, nirvana is already there if we practice letting go of thought and letting go of personal desires. So a bodhisattva has made a vow not to enter nirvana, but to stay in samsara and walk with all living beings. And for a bodhisattva to hate and escape from ignorance and to seek after true form is duality, which creates another samsara within our practice. So a bodhisattva who sees non-duality does not hate ignorance, because ignorance has no self nature. It's impermanent like dew. And a bodhisattva doesn't chase after true form to make it her personal possession. So we don't need to be afraid of an escape from delusions caused by ignorance. Dogen actually says, and I find this so profound, Dogen says, you must understand that we practice within delusion and attain realization before enlightenment. We practice within delusion and we attain realization before enlightenment. So like going back to this like autumn dew metaphor, depending on the temperature and other factors, water changes its form from vapor, dew, or ice, and our mind is the same. And unfortunately, in our case, as immature bodhisattvas, we go from ignorance to true form back and forth. So our mind indeed is like rushing waters. The rushing waters is like a bunch of thoughts all the time. And it's really hard to see what's at the bottom. And sometimes we feel we're free from the five aggregates of attachment by seeing emptiness, and other times we're just all bound up by self-centered ways and full of attachment. So the body and mind we received when we were born is easily transformed back and forth between self-centeredness and selflessness. And that's the reason we need to practice continuously, moment by moment. But finally, if we think we're permanently free from ignorance because we had a sort of enlightenment experience, such an attitude can be the worst form of self-clinging. So we're definitely not looking for that. you know, that's really the end of what I'm going to say about that poem. And it all boils down to ignorance and wisdom are both the same, and they contain each other. And that when we become free from our own self, clinging to ourselves and letting go of our thoughts and our desires through continuous practice, we will understand this. And even though we don't understand it now, I think it's good to know that that's what's there for us to understand. I want to read you two other very short little poems by Dogen Kanchi, because they bring him down to, they're really easy to understand, and they make him like much more real as a person. And both of them are verses from a mountain retreat that he went on. So this is the first one. It's very short. Joyful in this mountain retreat, yet still feeling melancholy. Studying the Lotus Sutra every day, practicing Zazen single-mindedly. What do love and hate matter when I am here alone, listening to the sound of the rain late in this autumn evening? And then another similar verse. Transmitting to the East the way the ancestors brought from the West. My daily activities illuminated by the moon and shadowed by the clouds. Because I revere the ancient way of the patriarchs, the secular dust of worldly customs does not reach where I stay, secluded in my grass-thatched hut on a snowy evening deep in the mountain recesses. And here are three kanji of my own. I hope you enjoy. The first one is called My Ficus, for example, now shrouded in crumpled leaves. All creatures hushed, water rockets toward earth. I'm terrified of its shameless maw. Forced in its path, mangled by boulders, dead, 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 feathers and foam bubble toward the river mouth. And this, the second one, this I think is about, as you get older, forgetting your words. It's hard to remember words. So it's called, Please Don't Sweep the Autumn Leaves That Linger Around the Well. Wedgwood, yes, finally, after hours of struggle, deeper, deeper excavating associations, yet the word is itself escapes. Growing old, I marvel at the irrelevancies that flood my mind. Sue, I am charmed. Your three delights move me to tears. And the last one, porridge done, fire out. My home is made of bristle. Blood pumps, yes. Already crusty, my eyes see little. My gate creaks, my parakeet's cage rattles in the wind. And you, are you dead yet? I think that last one, when I was young, I had a parakeet and it flew away and I was so bereft. So here are some of the most important points from today. First, to stay in samsara, we need karmic consciousness that creates ignorance. We need ignorance to stay in samsara to help all beings. And second, ignorance and wisdom are not two separate things. Both, when examined, turn out to be empty. But to realize this, we must free ourselves from self-clinging. To accomplish this, we must practice Zazen continuously. And third, this is the Shoho Jiso, the true reality of all beings is the teaching that each and every unique individual thing can exist as it is only in relation with all other things throughout time and space. And fourth, thinking is not my thinking. It is simply happening in my brain. And fifth, this is Dogen saying, you must understand that we practice within delusion and attain realization before enlightenment. And lastly, Dogen has this phrase, think of not thinking. How do you think of not thinking? Beyond thinking. And that means that thoughts are there, but we don't take action based on things happening in our karmic consciousness or that the Alaya, that eighth level, the Alaya consciousness. So we don't need to hate ignorance. And that actually Zazen itself is the true reality of all beings. So then I have four ideas for your reflection during the week. The first one, to stay in samsara, we need karmic consciousness that creates ignorance. So we need ignorance to stay in samsara to help all beings. And this is the bodhisattva path. Being a bodhisattva, however, is not everybody's path. You may feel that you don't want to stay in samsara. Many people, including many of Shakyamuni Buddha's disciples, attained enlightenment for themselves, not to help all beings. These two approaches are separate paths. So consider carefully which is the right one for you. You know, I'm a Zen student, so I'm on the Bodhisattva path. So I'm always talking about that. And you may have gotten the impression that that's the only way to go, but it's totally not the only way to go. There's many other ways to go. And one of them is I would like to attain enlightenment, let's just say. I would like to attain enlightenment for myself. I just want to be enlightened. And I don't want to worry about anything else. So that's an absolutely valid way to go. So to think, that's the first reflection question. Really think about your path. You're not stuck. You're not stuck anywhere. And secondly, the word ignorance today is highly charged. None of us want to think of ourselves that way. But in Buddhism, ignorance is not stupidity. It carries a much heavier weight. Just having been born means that we have this kind of ignorance and that all of our thinking is burdened by it until we have greater understanding. And though inherently they are of the same nature, empty, we still need to relieve ourselves of self-clinging behaviors so that wisdom may arise in us. So the second question for you to reflect on is, state precisely what the difference is between ignorance or avidya and true form or the true reality of all beings in Buddhism. Make sure you understand this is avidya, the ignorance in the Buddhist understanding, and this is the true reality of all beings. What is the difference? And to maybe even write it down so you're really clear. And third, self-clinging is not something we usually think about, and especially we don't usually think that most of our behaviors arise from this. To increase your consciousness around it, name five behaviors of yours that actually arise from self-clinging, even though that's not how you ordinarily look at them. And it can be things like the desire to be beautiful or smart or enlightened, or to be thought of well, or to be a star. List five of your own. This is really important because most of us don't even think about the fact that most of what we do and most of our choices are around self-clinging. So just to get more conscious about it, that's all. You don't have to change, but just to get more conscious about, oh, that's what's going on. And then lastly, since Zazen is itself is the true reality of all beings, in a way, there's nothing more important we can do, actually. But unfortunately, we have a whole day in which we either do it, we'll have a whole day and we'll either not do it at all, or we'll really fight for like 10 minutes to do it. So now that we see how critical it is, I wonder if you could try at least to double what you're doing. So for example, if you sit for 10 minutes, maybe you could like 1 minute a day, increase it to 20 minutes, or sit 10 minutes twice a day, something like that. The more you do, the more you'll want to do, actually. That's what I find. So those are the four points to reflect on during the week, stemming from this talk. Okay. So I wonder if there are questions.
Yes, Gail. So the first question that we got is, I'm really confused. It seems like all this time we've been working on how to get rid of ignorance. Now it turns out we need ignorance to stay in samsara and help living beings. I thought we didn't want to stay in samsara. I don't think I want to.
Well, you don't have to. You don't have to want to. The only people who have to want to are people who are practicing the Bodhisattva path and have taken the Bodhisattva vows. And you definitely don't have to do that. I'm really glad you asked, because I think everybody has this question. And actually, there's more than this, but there are two vehicles for starters, and they're very different, actually, but they don't look different on the outside. And there's the regular vehicle, and then there's the greater vehicle, which is Mahayana Buddhism. And the regular vehicle does everything. The practices are almost identical of Zazen and continuous practice of Zazen and all of the things that go along with that. And the intention is for your own benefit. And then the greater vehicle is called Mahayana Buddhism. And that's, you do the same thing, just about. But you're on the Bodhisattva path. You take vows. We actually had a whole series on the Bodhisattva vows. I think it was the fourth series. And so if you're on that path, you take those vows and you live your life as a Bodhisattva. And I just described that today. You have to be able to relate to the people that you're trying to help. But at the same time, this is that third kind of nirvana. It's not non-abiding nirvana. There's no abode. So you're neither in samsara nor nirvana, one because of wisdom and one because of compassion. But you don't have to do that. And it's really important to listen to your own self. Actually, that's the most critical thing, is to listen to your own self. There's nothing more important. If Buddhism teaches anything, it teaches that. Listen to your own self. It's absolutely the most important thing, to know yourself and study yourself. So the short answer to your question is, you don't have to do anything. And it all depends on your own aspirations, and there's no right and wrong. I hope that helps you.
So the second question that we got is, could you say more about the difference between the Bodhisattva path and the non-Bodhisattva path? Does everyone practicing Zen aim to become a Bodhisattva?
Yes. In fact, and I didn't know this even until recently, but being a Zen student, I guess it's when you take the precepts, you're automatically you're called a Bodhisattva. I mean, go figure. So being a Zen student means that you've taken vows in the Mahayana Buddhist path, and there's a name for that, and it's Bodhisattva, and I only found this out recently, but you don't need to take that path. And the Mahayana Buddhism is called the Greater Vehicle, but before that is Theravada Buddhism, whose practice looks really similar. And I think the people at Spirit Rock do Theravada Buddhism. And many people enjoy that practice very much. But because I'm a Zen student, you hear about Bodhisattva practice, but there are many other ways, and there's other vehicles also. There's more vehicles besides Theravada Buddhism and Mahayana Buddhism. There's Vajrayana Buddhism and other, et cetera, et cetera. So not to think that you're cornered. Thank you.
So another question that we got is, if there is no separate self, then who is the one that is making the vow to get enlightenment and remain in samsara or not?
I'm not sure I understand. If there's no separate self,
yeah,
then that's the person. Then that person. I think I intuitively understand what you're asking, though. Remember when I told you about if someone asked Suzuki Roshi, you know, what is the most important point in Zen practice? He would say, when the alarm rings, get up. And that's that person who gets up when the alarm rings. It's not the person who thinks, well, I thought I wanted to practice this practice, but I don't really feel like getting up today. Maybe I'll skip today, or I'll get up later, or whatever. It's not that person. It's the person that when the alarm ring gets up, that person is the person who takes the Bodhisattva vows. And it's very much yourself, but it's not the same self that quit. And it's the same also as, thank you very much, I have no complaints whatsoever. That person that has no complaints whatsoever is the person who takes the Bodhisattva vow. That's your real self. And your other self, your thinking mind self and your desire self and your wanting to be noticed and all of those things, that's the self most of us are most in touch with, but there's actually a larger self. And the more you do zazen, the more you'll absolutely be in touch with that larger self, no question. And that larger self is where our best decisions come from. And the way we get in touch with it is letting go and just allowing that part to almost just take over, to just abide more fully. I hope that it's not like I can point to something material as a definite answer. It's a kind of, you have to feel into this answer. But if you've done zazen, you will understand what I'm talking about, I think. Thank you.
So the next one is, would you say again the difference between ignorance and the true reality of all beings? I get that they are the same. Empty, but now I'm not sure how they're different.
Well, it's okay. Just remember that the true reality of all beings is simply interdependence. It's we cannot exist as an independent individual self without the assistance of every other independent individual self in existence. We're all interconnected, and we absolutely depend on everything else. So that's what's called true form. That's true. That's the true. That's how we actually exist in the world, interconnected with all beings. So that's that. And then ignorance, avidya, is the best way to describe it, really, I think, is it's called the three poisons, greed, hate, and delusion. And our hate can be anger. Delusion is also ignorance. So, but greed, hate, and delusion is an easy way to remember it. And those are the three things that keep us in samsara. So and they create attachment and self-clinging. Within these 12 links of the origin of our suffering, we cycle through them based on greed, hate, and delusion. You can just boil the whole thing down to that. And that's why Dogen says our lives are one continuous mistake. They're one continuous mistake because we can't get out of greed, hate, and delusion. And so greed, hate, and delusion, the three poisons, are another way to kind of just have a cheat sheet for these 12 links of causation. It just really boils down to that. And that's what ignorance is. So you can think of ignorance as greed, hate, and delusion, the three poisons, and you can think of true form as interdependence. Those are easy ways to remember both of them. I hope that helps. Thank you.
So the next one is, sometimes I'm wrecked with indecision and cannot decide what to do next. So I waste a lot of time and tell myself, well, it doesn't matter anyway because everything is empty. So why bother? Then I forget why that's not the right way to think. Could you please remind me?
Yes, I think a lot of people do that. It's, I'm sorry to say, it's called spiritual bypassing, actually. And the reason it's called that is that we can't use ultimate truths to get out of living properly. So we're in the conventional world, we have to pay very close attention to each thing that happens in our lives and do the appropriate thing to take care of each thing that happens in our lives extremely carefully, more and more carefully, more and more. It's critical, actually, to do everything as completely as possible. Just go even one step further than you thought you were going to do, you know, to make your bed or make sure the kitchen is perfect in cleanliness or something. It gets sometimes a very fragile thing. You just feel like you just have to do that extra thing, even though you're tired. What am I saying? you can't justify not doing that by an ultimate truth like, well, everything's empty anyway. What it's empty of is self nature. It's not nothing. It's just empty of self nature. And we can know that, but we haven't actually experienced that. So there's a difference. Until we actually experience these ultimate truths, we can't use them as excuses to behave inappropriately ever. It's hard. It's a really hard path. I hope that answers your question. The bottom line is you have to know what you're saying. I mean, you have to really, we can say ignorance and wisdom are both empty, but it's good that we know that with our minds, but since we haven't experienced that yet, then we can't allow that to be a cause of our behavior. That's all I can say. Thank you. I think others probably too struggle with this. Thank you. Is there time for another? I don't think so.
Yeah, we only have 2 minutes left. So.
And there's not another question?
There is one about what are the 5 aggregates?
There are some, that's not a hard question to answer. There are also, aggregates are also called skandhas. And they're just what we are. They're what we're composed of in Buddhism. And so form our bodies, then the others are not material. Feelings, perceptions, mental formations, anything what goes on in our mind, and consciousness. So form, feeling, perceptions, mental formations, and consciousness. Those are the 5 aggregates. Those are what we human beings are made of. And none of them have self-nature. And so we human beings have no self-nature. That's how it was decided in Buddhism, or discovered, that we human beings have no self-nature. And that's why the interdependent mix is so critical for us. So I want to thank you very much for attending today. I want to thank my team, Brian and Brendan and Sahar. And I want to thank you for attending, and also the people who listen later. Really keep up with these recorded talks. I really appreciate your effort as well. And so I'll see you next week for our 6th and last talk in this series. Bye-bye.